Welcome, friends. Welcome back to ArcCast. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, coming to you with some more great stuff from my colleagues in the architecture strategy team this week. Yeah, that's right. I actually work with a bunch of architects, and we sit here in Redmond, and we think about, what should we do to help you guys, basically? And so there's a group that focuses on industry-specific architectures. And today we're going to talk to the leader of that group, Javed Sikander, and see what he has to say about what kind of things are they doing to help people to get industry-specific architectures going. And you're going to like this because they've got stuff. They're doing stuff to help you, and you probably didn't even know it. And really, that's a lose for all of us because we want you to know. So let's give it up for Javed Sikander. Well, this is Ron Jacobs, your host for ArcCast, and I am joined today by Javed, who is one of my colleagues on the architecture strategy team. And Javed, you and your group are kind of interesting because you focus on industry-specific architecture. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your team. What do you guys do?
That's right, Ron. We are the industry architecture team in architecture strategy. The idea is that when we create architectures that are useful to architects in manufacturing or retail or financial services, banks or insurance companies, those architectures need to be in the context of the business problems these architects face in these industries. So my team is focused on putting the work that we do in the context of these business problems. To put it very simply, the team right now has four people, including myself. There is Atanu Banerjee, who runs the architecture program for the manufacturing industry. You know, Atanu comes from a company called I2 Technologies with a deep background in supply chain. He has a PhD in operations research.
Whoa, I didn't know, had no idea. Now, I2 was a big, it is, still is, I mean, a big player in the supply chain logistics whole thing. So, man, he's a pretty smart guy then.
Absolutely. I2 is not as big as it used to be, but they were the, I would say, one of the thought leaders in the supply chain industry, especially as it applies to manufacturing. So Atanu runs the manufacturing program, and then we have Moen, who runs the architecture program for retail. And Moen comes from deep expertise in point of sale. He did a lot of hands-on work with point of sale development. Then he was in the payments area with a company here in Seattle called InfoSpace. And then we have another person, Mike Walker, who's starting actually next week, focusing on the financial services industry. Mike comes from a banking and insurance background. So these are people who have a good combination of domain expertise and technology expertise that they combine together. These are architects who have been in these companies in the past, who have been in these industries in the past. So they combine their domain expertise and their architecture and technical knowledge to create these architectures which are relevant for people in these industries.
And we should mention that we're going to be hearing from these guys over the next few days as we get our cast recorded with them. But it's really, I think that this is surprising to a lot of people that Microsoft even does this, because, you know, they think, oh, well, you know, Microsoft, they make Windows, they make .NET, they make, you know, a bunch of kind of platform infrastructure. And if I need to figure out how I'm going to use it in my particular industry context, I'm on my own. But you're actually here to help.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, Microsoft does a lot of things for the industries. We have a whole division, the Microsoft Dynamics, that's focused on business applications, you know, the ERP, the CRM kind of applications for, of course, for the mid-market and smaller businesses. But in addition to that, the work that we are doing in various products. Like if you just take BizTalk, we have accelerators in BizTalk that are focused on certain industry problems. But then in my group, the idea is that the platform that we have today and the platform that is evolving with respect to Office, with respect to Vista, is actually a very compelling business platform to build business applications, to run business processes in enterprises. So yeah, my team is here and we focus on taking this business platform that we have at Microsoft and putting it in the context of these industries.
Okay, so give me a little example of the kind of things that people might expect to see your group producing. I mean, what do you do? Write white papers or samples, or what are you going to do?
Yeah, so we will create reference architectures. So what that means is taking a set of scenarios in retail or manufacturing and showing the architects how those scenarios can be addressed with the Microsoft technology. Now, that sounds a lot of guidance kind of work, but really the thought leadership that we add on top of that to show some of the key business problems that these industries are facing and how they can be addressed. Let me give you an example, right? One of the work that we are doing today with respect to Office especially is very interesting and very relevant. So I fundamentally believe that Office is the business platform. To give you some idea, if I'm a small and medium business, and let's say I'm looking to put together a set of processes for processing purchase orders, and for collaborating with my OEM who I'm supplying certain parts to. Now, the choice that I have today is I have to either invest into a significantly expensive ERP system, right, or I can build something on my own, right, or I can use some of the features of something like Office, and I can put together a very straightforward, very simple process to communicate with my OEMs.
Now, wait just a minute, though. I mean, yeah, everybody uses Office to write email and, do my PowerPoint thing and some spreadsheets and stuff. We get that. But I think it's a real stretch for a lot of people to imagine Office as a platform for building business applications. Is this a new thing in Office 12? I mean, what kind of stuff enables this?
That's right. Traditionally in the Office in the Office product line, we had basic document creation, document management capabilities. So you had Word, you had PowerPoint, and you had Excel for doing all of your data manipulation, data visualization, and whatnot. But with Office 12, there are some key capabilities that are being added that can be used to create some business functionalities. One is we had the Windows we had the SharePoint product already in the previous versions of Office, but with the new version of Office, we have now the ability to combine workflow with the document management that we had with SharePoint. So to give you an idea, I can create a simple process where I can say that if John creates a purchase order, right, and sends it to Mary, right, Mary should be notified that there is a purchase order for her to review. And now Mary can get an event and get something in her Outlook, or she can get something on a dashboard where she can go and review the purchase order and take certain action on it, where she can approve it, or she can go back to go back and say, hey, I don't like some of these numbers. Now, if Mary wants, she can actually automate that. She can say that if there are the purchase orders that are less than $1,000, then I don't need to review unless it is from Bob, because, you know, I want more control on what Bob does.
Yeah, we don't trust Bob very much. Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, so the ability to combine workflow with the documents that are being created, the ability to create business rules on top of that, is something that we are providing with Office 12 to address simple workflow, human-to-human workflows that we see so often in enterprises.
Yeah, it's, if you think about what this takes into sort of the pre-Office 12 world, this is a pretty substantial project, right? We might write you know, some extensions to SharePoint, or maybe a whole new ASP.NET kind of site, where we might have a database that it gets involved there, and that, you know, we're pushing this data in. We'd write some custom code to kind of do this workflow and this business logic and the approvals and notifications. I mean, it sounds like a fairly substantial project. I've seen a lot of projects like this done over and over and over again in the enterprise. And what we're saying is now you won't have to go that route. You'll be able to take kind of off-the-shelf technologies, SharePoint, Office 12, and automate a simple business process like approving a purchase order with some fairly significant business rules and workflows without writing a ton of code.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, previously it was very hard to, one of the things that we heard a lot from our customers is that, you know, how do I combine this data back to my ERP? How do I pull data from ERP into my decision making, which I'm doing outside of ERP? So with Office 12, we have something called BDC, the Business Data Catalogs, which allow you to very seamlessly pull data out of ERP, push data back into ERP. I think at this time, the write-backs are not there, but eventually they will be there. So combining all these capabilities, combining the analysis services, which is new again, the ability to create dashboards, the ability to drill down into information, the ability to slice and dice data, a rich set of functionalities that all come together in a very seamless way allows me to create these business capabilities without having to write a lot of code. And what does it mean to enterprises, for instance, right? You know, we have been kind of scratching our head on how will enterprises use all this great, great, cool functionality. I believe that there are two great opportunities for enterprises here. One is that as these enterprises, their business models evolve and they do more and more business with outsourced companies, there are new business processes that are not traditionally addressed in ERP, and that may take forever to be built into your core ERP system. PLM, for instance, you know, product lifecycle management. So if I'm a big enterprise, my first opportunity is to take some of these new business processes and see if I can address them outside of my ERP, right?
You know what's fascinating about that? I was reading a great book by Thomas Friedman called The World is Flat on my last trip to London.
And, you read that too?
Yeah, it's great. it's a great book. Yeah. And in there he talks about the example of HP. At one point, HP had something like 57 different supply chains in its businesses. And they were able to kind of flatten that all out and horizontalize their business into just 5 supply chains. And supply chains that extend to partners in very, you know, simple ways. And they felt this was critical to their competitiveness in the marketplace, which I totally believe that is. Because, I mean, if you can drive an efficiency in your supply chain, you can really start to drive down the cost that you're facing. And as a lot of people look at the kind of traditional ways of thinking, of very vertically thinking about how I orient my IT systems, like, you know, the big traditional ERP system, it works great inside the business unit, inside the firewall for people who are trained, for people who know how to use it. But when you say, well, now I want to integrate this partner over here into my supply chain, and they don't have access to the ERP system, and even if they did, they don't know how to use it, and they don't know our rules for, you know, trying to teach them would be ridiculous. So we have to come up with better solutions. So the funny thing is, a lot of people who are doing this are doing it in very, very low-tech ways, like fax and email, and that's how we've integrated in the past.
Absolutely. And I think the fundamental problem there, Ron, is that a lot of these business systems were not built on a well-thought-through, well-designed, bottom-up developed business platform. What happened was that the ERP vendors that you see around who has certain business platforms that they call out are actually functionalities that they have assimilated from business applications. So they said, okay, I've built this application and it uses eventing. Oh, this eventing can be used by other applications too. So let me pull it down into a platform kind of a thing. So what has happened is that the underlying business platform doesn't exist in a lot of cases. And if it exists, it's not built bottom up, well thought through. That is where the fundamental problem comes in these business applications. So if you were to build these business processes, if you were to automate these business processes on a well thought through, fundamentally designed, bottom up design business platform, then as my business evolves, it should be relatively easy for me to say, you know, this part of my business now I'm outsourcing. So instead of having those relationships inside the companies, inside my company, now these relationships exist outside my company. And my system should be able to seamlessly evolve to adapt to this new way of doing business. So if I decide to outsource my design, right, my system should be able to seamlessly allow me to do that. Instead of becoming inhibitors for change, they should actually support the change. They should actually drive the change that's happening. And similarly, you know, when businesses decide to, run something within their four walls, and they decide now that, hey, it makes more economic sense, it makes more sense for me to host this somewhere, right? So the underlying platform should allow them to run it within their four walls or host it somewhere else. It should be all seamless. And I think as we put more and more ideas together and more work together into this fundamental business platform that we're building, right, these kind of things are quite possible.
You know, it kind of goes against the grain of a lot of architects and developers, though, doesn't it? I mean, you know, we like to build things, you know, and we want to build it from the ground up. And you know, so sometimes people will have a tendency to look for every reason why this couldn't work and say, we obviously have to build a whole infrastructure and all this. But really, I think there's a lot of pressure on IT to do more with less. We've been hearing that for a long time. I mean, Microsoft even picked that up as a slogan, right? And when you think about, like what you said, if I based a business process around this Office kind of platform thing, and then later I decide I need to extend it to a partner, there's a significant advantage, right? Because most people know how to use Office. They know how to use SharePoint. They know how to use the Office products. And then not only that, if I decide at some point that I want to outsource the hosting of the whole thing, there are hundreds and hundreds of hosters who know how to host this infrastructure and can do a great job of it. And I don't have to, you know, try to find somebody who will host your homegrown thing. You know, it's much harder. And particularly how they're going to manage it over time, it's a much more expensive process. But if you just say, hey, I have a SharePoint thing I need to have hosted somewhere, you can find loads of people who will do that.
Exactly. I think and also, you know, if I'm a smaller, to add to that, if I'm a small business, we have something called Office Life, where as an ISV, as a solution provider, I can go and create solutions for small businesses that are totally hosted on Office Life. So as a small business, I don't care about where to deploy it, how to deploy it, how to manage it. It's all taken care by the hoster, which is, you know, Office Life, and the solution developer who has built that solution. So it's a very interesting opportunity. If I'm a solution developer in creating vertical solutions or creating solutions for small businesses and the mid-markets, I should be totally excited about it. the market opportunity is just huge in terms of solutions for smaller companies, right? And then now with this new model where the customers don't need to worry about hosting, deployments, and managements, there is a great way to reach out to these customers and help them with all these great business applications.
Yeah, you know, this is that phenomenon that people often call the long tail, which was just a way of saying that there's a huge portion of the market that in the past wasn't typically served very well because it wasn't very profitable on a per deal basis, you know. So people went after the big deals, the big companies, the big enterprises, and said, well, we're going to make, you know, several million dollars on one deal. But with the long tail kind of philosophy, it's like, well, if you could orient your thinking a little differently, you can make several million dollars off of, you know, a few hundred thousand deals, right? And instead of one big deal. But you'd have to have a different kind of model that would support this. And so that's one of the things we're seeing being built in kind of this Office Live infrastructure, and that people will be able to tap into those kind of markets and serve them well and make money. And the customers will be thrilled because they'll get something that previously they couldn't have afforded from the big guys, right? And something that might suit their needs very perfectly.
Yes. I was talking to one of the universities recently, and they told me something interesting. They said that in early 1900s, we used to create our own power. You know, so we used to have our own power creation, you know, generators and whatever they had within the university on the campus. Now it just comes over the wire. So same thing with applications, and same thing with the whole idea of business apps hosted somewhere, you know, in the context. If I'm a small business, right, I just want it to come over the wire.
Sure. And in fact, I think as those models prove more and more successful, larger and larger organizations will want the same thing because they don't want the headaches of running their own power plant, right? I mean, right. You know, when you think about it today, that's unimaginable because it's such a specialized skill, right? There's some people who know how to run power plants and operate them and all of that kind of stuff. And there's not very many because thankfully we don't need them everywhere, but we've built a very reliable power infrastructure that means that we don't have to do that. So I think we're kind of in the same place where there's a computing infrastructure being built. Activity is there now, and the reliability is rising to the point where, you know, you'd have to be kind of crazy to think that you need to do this yourself.
Yep.
Okay, but now this all sounds kind of interesting. But on the other hand, I have to say I'm kind of surprised because, you know, when you're talking about heavyweight industry reference architectures like supply chain, you know, I kind of imagined that, you know, there would be a lot of focus around, you know, big server side things, a lot of web services and database and business intelligence and all this. But you kind of immediately jump to Office as a platform. Are you not doing the other side of this as well?
Yeah, we are doing other stuff. BizTalk, for instance, plays an important role. If I'm a retailer, and if I want to enable decision making at the edge in these stores, where store managers are making real time decisions on inventories, on late deliveries or whatever, right? BizTalk sits in the corporate and orchestrates the data flows, orchestrates the processes between the store and the corporate. So BizTalk has a role to play there. Similarly, the technologies that are coming together in WinFX, the workflow we talked about, and then the Windows WCF, the web services connectivity between the corporate and the stores, between the edge and the corporate. So the reference architectures we create will be around a combination of products that Microsoft has. It essentially starts with the business problems that our customers are facing, and then it identifies the technologies that Microsoft has that can come together to solve those bigger problems. And in that mix, wherever it makes sense, we talk about BizTalk, we talk about WinFX, we talk about Office, SQL Server. So it's inclusive. That's the first point. The second point I want to make is that Office itself is a combination of technologies that come together to solve problems not only for small businesses, but also for enterprises.
Yeah, well, of course, and I mean, Office has been used in almost every enterprise in the world. So, you know, you could imagine that it would make a lot of sense for them to apply Office as a solution. Just, you know, the interesting thing about this is the training costs that organizations face when they roll out a custom solution are very, very substantial. I can remember talking to a fellow who was telling me that they had put together a training program for their new home-built CRM system that they had created for this large insurance company. And they were flying in customer service reps from all over the world for classes. They ran 40 students per class for several months. That's an enormous cost. Of course, a lot of people are looking at online training and other ways to reduce the cost. But if you can do things in an environment that requires less training,
exactly,
it certainly makes sense.
Exactly. Every time I roll out a new application, I have a new user interface, I have a new experience for the users, and I need to train them around that. If I use Office on the front end, that cost completely can be removed. Users have a familiar interface that they know how to deal with. It's easy, and it's becoming much more easier with Office 12 with the enhancements that we have on less menus and the ribbon concept and whatnot. So it's awesome. As a user, I deal with one familiar interface all the time. Doesn't matter what I'm doing from an application perspective, in terms of my interaction with the system is very familiar to me.
Well, and I think the thing that's great, it's like you said, you're taking these kind of general platform capabilities and you're putting them into the context. So like, for example, in the retail context, how you were saying decisions need to be made at the edge. I remember talking to a retailer, a worldwide retailer, had 12,000 stores around the world, and they were telling me about the system they built to support their stores. And one of the interesting things they had to build into their system was the flexibility so that if a store manager, let's say they had a fruit vendor who was right down the street from them but sold some really good fruit that they couldn't get through their normal channel, they wanted to have the flexibility for the store manager to get some fruit from that vendor and sell it in their store, even if that's the only store out of 12,000 that might sell this particular thing. There's some really unique challenges around that. I wouldn't have the first idea about how to solve that kind of problem, but a guy like Moyne, who has retail industry experience, is familiar with the kind of solutions that people might need to apply there, and can become really a trusted advisor to help people to know how to solve those problems.
Absolutely, we have the concepts in retail industry. We have a lot of people at Microsoft, lots of people at Microsoft who are retail experts who spend decades, in some cases, in defining architecture for the retail stores, addressing the retail store processes and whatnot. We talk about smarter retailing, which is empowering the edge, which is the store, that the technology innovation in retail is happening in the store. A lot of decisions are being made there. We have seen some of the technologies like RFID, which are very interesting in the context of retail, both at an item level and also at the corporate in terms of supply chain and logistics. So bringing all this technologies together and giving some guidance on how all this can be used in retail context, Moyne is a great guy for that, and I'm sure when you talk to him next, he'll talk all about this.
Okay, great. Well, all right, so the last thing I want to just get at, though, is that this all sounds great and interesting, but I think a lot of people are saying, I really want to see this. What's available now, and what will be available soon, so that I can kind of go and watch out for it?
Yeah, we have done some interesting work already. You know, I just talked about RFID, for instance. In the past, we have created various guidance. We have created a toolkit on how to build this RFID functionality on Microsoft.NET. Actually, Microsoft is releasing a product pretty soon that will allow retailers, manufacturers to use RFID technology within their business applications. And once that happens, we'll create some more reference architectures, more guidance on how to put that in the enterprise. But expect a great deal of content, great deal of guidance, great deal of thought leadership from us. We talk about people-ready business. We talk about Microsoft focusing on putting the user in the middle of everything, putting the spotlight back on the user. What does it mean for industries? What does it mean for manufacturers? How can they make decision-making down the stack and empower their users to make those decisions? These are sort of things that will come together in the work that we will create: reference architectures, toolkits, actual real working code that will show how to solve some of these interesting business problems using the technologies that are coming from Microsoft. All this will be available on the Architecture Center on Microsoft.com/architecture. We are launching a page for manufacturing architects who are part of the manufacturing industry. We are launching a page in April, mid-April, where they can go and see all the content that are relevant to their industry. Similarly, we'll be launching a page for the retail industry early May for the architects in the retail industry. So there will be a lot of content, reference architecture, sample code that will be available for the architects in these industries.
Okay, well, that sounds terrific. I'm sure everybody will be delighted to see it when it comes. So thanks so much, Javed, for joining me today.
Thank you, Ron.
Javed Sikander, ladies and gentlemen, with the industry architecture stuff. I think that's great. Man, I love that Office as a platform thing. I think that's going to be fantastic. Can't wait to see Office 12. It's coming soon. Hang on. And as a matter of fact, I'm coming soon. That's right. I'm hitting the road on Monday. I'm flying to Israel, where I will be appearing at TechEd Israel. We'll be recording some ArcCast from there, and that's going to be great fun. And then afterwards, I'm going to make a little hop over to Cairo, where I'm going to be making some video that you'll be able to see soon about patterns and frameworks. And what better pattern is there than the pyramids? Okay, that is a pattern, dude. I'm telling you. Hey, and that's what we're doing here on ArcCast.